Good evening. It's good to see all of you here. Last week, we looked at Nicodemus, and we've been looking at different people related to the passion narrative. And I have to admit, it's been a little bit fascinating for me. I've never really taken an individual look at some of these people in depth. And so maybe more fascinating for me than you, because I've had to do a little more digging than maybe you've had to do. But last week, Nicodemus, how many of you have ever really thought of Nicodemus as being part of the passion narrative, so to speak? And I really hadn't. I mean, he is there at night, you know, going to Jesus. But then when Jesus dies on the cross, you know, he's there with Joseph of Arimathea to take him down and place him in the tomb. So that was last week, but tonight we're going to look at an individual that I would say that, or at least myself, I can really relate to. And so we're going to look at Peter. And so what I thought we would do tonight, just for a little bit of fun, is just see, what do we know about Peter? And like Nicodemus, there's only, you know, he's only mentioned like three times in the New Testament. And so, but Peter is there from the beginning of Jesus' ministry all the way to the cross, and then also into the book of Acts as the church begins to grow rapidly. So tell me something that you know about Peter. Okay, so he denies Jesus three times and then the rooster crows, right? Okay, I have a list here I'm keeping track of stuff I came up with. What else do we know about Peter? Impetuous, okay.
Fisherman,
one of the first disciples called, right? Peter and his brother Andrew were one of the first two disciples called when Jesus calls them in there mending their nets, and he calls them, come follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's always fun to do with the little kids, because you say, what does that look like? Are we going to take our fishing poles out and hook people and drag them in, or what are we going to do? So yeah, a fisherman. What else? Okay, the leader of the apostles, the disciples. It's, you know, there's not this necessarily pecking order, I guess you should say, but, you know, when we looked at Judas, he was the what? He handled the money, so you might have called him the treasurer, and Peter sort of becomes that guy that you sense that he might have been sort of the president of the club, so to speak. So, yeah, he was the leader, and that's what the title is, the born leader for this evening. What else? All right. He carried a sword because he's the one that cuts off the servant's ear, right? All right. Do what? And it was sharp, yeah. What else? We're getting there. There's still quite a bit more to go, but.
He was walking on water.
Okay. He walks on water. He's the brave one that steps out of the boat. Remember when Jesus comes walking out on the water and everyone, or, you know, Peter says, if you are Jesus, tell me to come out. And he was brave enough to step out, but then he kind of started looking at the waves and thinking, okay, I don't know if this is going to go so well. And then it didn't, right? So he starts sinking. But yeah, he steps out on the water. What else? I have to pull my list out. Fisherman, we got that, walked on the water. Do what? Yes, he is the one when Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. He says, no, not me. You are not going to wash mine. But then Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. And then Peter boldly says, well, then my whole body. You know, just wash my whole self. He's also the one that questions Jesus a lot of times. He's the one that questioned Jesus about how many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister? Seven times? And so he asked a couple of times, explain this parable to me. So he's kind of, once again, that leader person that has the questions in the back of his mind that probably everyone has, but he's the only one bold enough to ask it, right? Can you think of anything else?
Denied Christ three times.
Yes, he denied Christ three times. Yep. Peter is the one, you know, Jesus asked, who do the people say I am? And Jesus and the disciples say, well, some say Elijah and some a prophet, some John the Baptist. And then he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Yes, he's the one that makes the profession that he is the Christ. And someone said something over here. On Easter morning, who is running to the tomb when the women come back with the news? It's Peter and John. Now it says John, well, I guess we'd have to look at all four Gospels and see which one plays out. Sounds like John gets to the tomb first, but Peter's the brave one that sticks his head in first. Okay, so he's there after on that Easter Sunday that goes to the tomb. Boy, we're getting most of them. There's still one more for sure. Okay, there is the passage where Jesus says this. I'm going to have to kind of backtrack this a little bit because there's two kind of interpretations of this scripture passage. The rock on which I'm going to build this church. Actually, there's a debate and argument, and you can help me with this, but most of us refer to now that rock is talking about Peter's confession, not necessarily Peter himself, because Petros and Petra in the Greek, there's two different words for Peter and rock, which they're one's feminine and one's masculine. And so they say that we would say that confession that Peter makes is what he's going to build. But in a sense, yes, that's Peter's confession. You are the Christ. That's what the church is going to be built on. But yeah, good point. What else? Happened a few Sundays ago. It happens in the last Sunday before Lent starts. Transfiguration Sunday. Who does Jesus take on the mountain with him? Peter. Peter, James, and John, right? And Peter is once again that bold one. When he sees Jesus up there, he says, man, it's good to be here. We don't want to go down in a sense. And what does he want to do? He wants to put up some tents up there for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And then also, after the Last Supper, when they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John a little bit farther. You get the sense that they all the disciples go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're going to stay there and watch and pray, but he takes Peter, James, and John just a little bit farther with him to pray more individually. Of course, what do all of them do? They go to sleep. Yeah, that would be me. yeah, there's an inside joke about that. If we have to have a lock-in, I am not the one to watch the kids because I will be asleep and won't have a clue of what they're doing. He's also the one, I just looked down here, Jesus sends Peter and John into the city to find the place where they're going to make preparations for that Passover meal for the Last Supper. But you did a good job with that. So did you think there was that much stuff about Peter? I mean, there's a lot about Peter, but I want to go back just to the idea why I said I think we can really relate to Peter. And what I mean by that is he was bold in a sense, and really bold when he was around the disciples, when he was around Jesus. And you know, he professed Jesus. And he's also, we did miss one thing that I wanted to talk about, is that he is the one that always said, I will go with you. I will not let anything happen to you. In fact, I will even what? Die if I have to. And so he is the one that makes great professions of faith. He is the one that says, I will be there. I'm not going to desert you. But yet, what does he do? He denies Jesus. He deserts him like all the rest of the disciples. And as I think about that for myself, I think, you know, it's easy for us as Christians to profess Jesus as our Savior, especially when we're here, especially when we're around our Christian friends. But when we get outside among people who we don't know if they know Jesus, sometimes we're just like Peter. We don't stand up and we don't say, hey, he is the Christ, or you need to listen to him, or you need to have a relationship with him. I wanted to read just a couple of verses here in Luke chapter 22. It really sums all of this up. 22 after the Last Supper, at the end, or kind of at the end before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 31 says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked, this is Jesus speaking, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. And then over in 54, seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know what I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And so Peter is one of those disciples, you know, even though that natural born leadership in him was one that was quick to turn. And that's what I, you know, for us, you know, I think about these people who were involved with some of these shootings that have gone on over the past several years at schools. What would we do if someone said, do you believe in Jesus, if you had a gun pointed at you? I mean, I'd like to say right here boldly, like Peter, I will say Jesus is the Christ. But what would happen if I would be confronted with that? And Peter, you know, denied knowing Jesus. The beauty of the story is, though, which is one thing I was going to mention in what do we know about Peter, comes up here in this passage. When they had finished eating, Jesus, this is in John 21, this is after the resurrection. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Just prior to this, they're on the shore. Peter and the disciples were out fishing. And the Lord passes by and he says, hey, have you caught anything? And this is when he tells him, throw your net on the other side of the boat. But then John recognizes that it's Jesus. John tells Peter who it is, and what does Peter do? Do you remember? He jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. And then all the other disciples show up. But this is where Jesus asked Peter three times. And it says Peter was hurt. And can you imagine that? I mean, I think we can. I mean, there's probably stuff that we've done. And people may say, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Maybe three times because of something that happened previous. Or maybe we do it with our kids. Or do you have any homework? No. Are you sure? No. Are you sure? No. And they get kind of mad at you. But it's because sometimes they have homework and they say no, right? And so here with Peter, he's doing sort of the same thing. He says, do you love me? And even though Peter knows inside of his heart and inside of himself, he does, you know, here Jesus says three times, and it is a reminder, I think, for Peter and for us, that we are sinful. We aren't perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But God's love, that's what Jesus came for, to cover those imperfections, to bring us forgiveness in life. And as we think about Peter then also, as he goes after Jesus' ascension into heaven, he will be the one that goes and heals the guy that's outside the temple court. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter will be a very instrumental part in the early church. And then also, Peter will die as a martyr. Traditionally speaking, all sources and the traditions that we know of, Peter dies by what? Does anybody know? On a cross. Crucifixion upside down. Because the tradition says that Peter did not feel worthy to die in the manner that Jesus did. So he's crucified upside down on a cross. So Peter, can you relate to Peter? I think we all can. And I pray that as we continue to live our Christian life, that sure, we know we're going to fail many times. But also, maybe there are going to be those times when we do profess Jesus, when we do stand up for the truth of God's word and be a witness of who Jesus is in our lives. So I pray that God strengthens us as we live our lives in this world to be his witnesses. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.